Botox has made many television anchors and lawmakers, male and female, look like they don't have a care in the world. But what if an injection of this neurotoxin actually did make you feel better, alleviated depression? Further, what if in addition to reflecting how you feel, your facial expression could also change how you feel? That's a theory proposed by researchers including Eric Finzi, a dermatologic surgeon from Chevy Chase, Maryland, who works with Botox regularly, and found that in some of his patients, injecting Botox into the muscle that normally contracts when a patient frowns helped to relieve depression. In his new book, The Face of Emotion, he takes us through the history of the study of facial expressions, from Darwin through modern-day scientist Paul Ekman, who first established that emotions and facial expressions are linked. And Dr. Finzi concludes that though there are a lot of questions, Botox might bring relief from depression, anger issues. It might even alleviate heart disease by reducing type A behavior. It's fascinating, although I can hear you saying, is this just a doctor trying to get insurers to cover this expensive treatment so he can get more patients? Let's ask. Dr. Finzi joins us from the NPR studios in Washington. Welcome.
Pleasure, Robin.
And I would answer my own question by saying I would guess no. You seem to have a serious concern about depression. You grew up with it in your mom.
I do. I was primed to be interested in depression from an early age. I remember walking into my mother's bedroom and seeing this really furrowed brow on her face, and not knowing why, but knowing that something was wrong. And she suffered from depression intermittently throughout her life, and she actually wound up dying from depression. And that really motivated me afterwards to see what I could do to try to figure out what role did her facial expressions play, possibly, in the generation of her depression. And I was as surprised as anyone to find out that there's actually a lot of evidence, starting back from Charles Darwin, to suggest that the expression that you actually portray on your face will actually affect the emotions that you feel internally.
Right. In other words, just to jump in, we think of the expressions as being a symbol of how we're feeling internally. You're saying, I just want to underscore it, the expression can actually cause you to feel a certain way.
Correct. So you can do experiments to show that making a frown can make you evaluate a story more negatively. Conversely, if you're smiling while you look at a cartoon, the cartoon appears funnier to you. So the way that Botox can affect your mood is that Botox, by affecting what kinds of expressions you make, can actually put a stop to developing certain types of moods. It can certainly dampen it down. And our brains are always reading out the feedback from our faces 24/7. So whatever you do with your face, your brain is aware of it.
You take us through so many studies, all the scientific analysis starting with in the 1860s, the first researcher to use pictures to prove scientific theory. He was using photographs of smiles. But when we talk about depression, you really land on this area between the eyebrows. This is the corrugator supercilii. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, it's a muscle.
It's that thing, the two indentations between your eyebrows.
And it's caused by that muscle. That muscle is central to the expression of anger, fear, and sadness. And those expressions have been shown to be innate. They're conserved across cultures. Two-month-old babies make them. Blind people make them. Sort of the seat of negative emotions in terms of what your face is expressing is that muscle group. So if you put Botox there, you make it more difficult for your face to express a negative emotion, and therefore you make it more difficult for your body to feel it. It doesn't make it impossible. It's only one pathway, but it is one pathway into the brain that you can specifically target this particular negative emotional muscle.
So you tried this on some of your patients. If they would come in for something else, and in the course of your treating them for something else, a mole or something, it would be revealed that they were clinically depressed. What did you see happen when you suggested, well, let me try a shot in this corrugator?
The results were very positive. Majority of the patients had a really significant benefit in terms of their depression. But subsequent to that, There has been one randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial coming out of Switzerland and Germany, which has replicated the work, and that was published last year. There's actually another group from Texas which is getting ready to publish their randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial. So there will be several bodies of evidence from independent groups, none of which have been funded by a pharmaceutical company, to show that in a large percentage of patients, they get a very significant improvement in their depressive symptoms.
Well, USA Today asked at least one of those people that you just mentioned about your theories. And Paul Ekman, who's now at the University of California, San Francisco Med School, says it's entirely plausible to change people's facial expressions and thus change their moods. He says depression is a neural circuit. If you interrupt it, it has less impact. Philip Lewandowski of McLean Hospital here in Massachusetts says the same thing. The idea is not so far-fetched. But let me ask you, you also gathered anecdotal studies. You quote Dr. Eva Rivto, who's the chair of psychiatry at the University of Miami. She gave herself a Botox shot and then went to see a movie. The movie made her sad. But she wrote, because of the shot, she couldn't cry. Then she realized when she couldn't cry, she felt less sad. Now, that does support your theory. You know, if the facial expression can't happen, and in her case, she hit a gland or something and couldn't cry, and so that can't happen, the feeling went away. But this is where alarms went off for me, because don't we need to cry? Isn't it maybe not a good thing if you're not frowning, even if it is, you know, because you have some depression? Don't we need to have those feelings?
I would look at it that every medicine has a potential side effect, and Botox is no different from any other medicine. And so one has to weigh the risk and the benefit. Now, in this case, the risk is that it might be a little bit harder to cry and harder to feel sad. But if you're depressed, that's no risk at all. That's what you're desiring. Now, the other thing I would say is that because our brain is so complicated, in general, shutting off one pathway is not going to prevent you from feeling sad emotions or crying completely. It's going to damp it down. If your loved one dies, you're going to feel terrible at that loss, whether you've had Botox or not. It's just that it may decrease the amplitude of the feeling such that it doesn't take over your whole being.
Right. And by the way, you point out several times that you're talking about Botox as an adjunct to other treatment of depression. You're not just saying this will be the cure all.
Nothing in depression is the cure all. I think Botox needs to find its place in mental health. And in order to do that, many more studies need to be done to determine with whom does it really work the best. And it's not just depression. There's bipolar depression. There's possible treatment of anger. There are other things that potentially Botox could be used for in mental health.
Dermatologist Eric Finzi. So again, given these unanswered questions about Botox, he would like to see more research and more study. He writes that. But the goal, of course, would be to secure federal approval for the use for depression so insurance can cover it as a health issue. His book is The Face of Emotion. I'm going to ask more questions about that, and we will in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back to our conversation with dermatologist Eric Finzi, who says injections of Botox can alleviate depression. Now, you might be thinking, of course, a dermatologist wants to use Botox. He has skin in the game, as it were. But in his new book, The Face of Emotion, Eric cites the work of, among others, Charles Darwin, psychologist Paul Ekman, and Swiss psychiatrist Axel Vollmer. In a double-blind, placebo-controlled study, Vollmer found that patients who had Botox injections into the frown muscles of the face had significant improvement in their mental state. Moreover, that improvement wasn't dependent on thinking the Botox made them look better. One of the patients actually didn't like the way she looked after Botox. And Eric, you also point out in the book that Botox has already been cleared for several health issues, so using it for non-cosmetic purposes isn't new.
At least half of all the use of Botox in the world has nothing to do with anything cosmetic. It's for cerebral palsy, for Parkinson's disease, for migraine headaches, for sweating, for overactive bladders. The list goes on. Essentially, if you have a disease that has a problem with a muscle or a place where you can intervene in the circuit of that disease, and the muscle is part of it, then Botox can be used to target that disease.
Well, you also talk about the non-cosmetic use of Botox, the people who, for whatever the reason, and this is the reverse of your theory, this is when people have that heavily furrowed brow, but they really feel great. You know,
absolutely. I've treated quite a few people like that. It can be devastating. I had one man whose frown was so strong in his mouth because he lost 100 pounds that he could not go into a restaurant without the waitress saying, "Why are you so angry with me?" So
and he wasn't.
I pulled up the skin, and then now he can go socialize and people don't think that they're angry. And what's even more amazing is when he came into my office, I thought he was angry with me. Even though I knew he wasn't, I felt queasy. I felt uneasy around him until I fixed his face.
So I just want to say that expressions can do both things. You can have a furrowed brow and it can be making you feel worse, but you can also have a furrowed, heavily indented brow
and be perfectly happy.
And it has nothing to do with how you feel.
It's like everything else. It's all in context. Some people frown all the time and they're as happy as they come. Others have nothing to show in their face, but their muscle may be very active inside. And they might be very depressed. So you can't judge the book solely by its cover. And what you see on the face is really the tip of the emotional iceberg.
I think that's important to repeat, that when you're talking about treating people with depression, they may not have that furrowed brow. There's a muscle deep under there that there's been research using electrodes. You can feel the muscle working then, but it may not show on their face that they're depressed.
That's absolutely correct,
yeah.
Robin, that you really can't judge any of this just by looking at the face. If you don't know what the underlying muscle is doing, you really don't know.
It's a fascinating research. I just want to ask you, though, Doctor, does it concern you at all? Do you think there's something a little odd about the fact that no one on news programs anymore furrows a brow about anything? It's almost as if there's nothing wrong. If you were to turn on, the message that we're getting is there's nothing wrong. Does that bother you a little bit that it's so pervasive now?
Well, I think in certain fields, it's really helpful to not have Botox. I mean, if I was on TV or in the movies, I wouldn't want to be getting Botox into my frown because I don't think I could portray the full range of human emotions as an actor. So it's like anything else. It can be overdone. It really depends on the situation.
I know you want to get federal approval for the use of Botox for the treatment of depression so that insurance will cover this procedure, which isn't cheap, something like $400 for 5 shots, I'm reading, and then, you know, they wear off after a couple of months and you need retreatment. Do you worry it will be abused? You know, the people can, yes, I'm not feeling well. I need to have my Botox shot. Do you worry about that?
There's always potential for some people to abuse the system, but there are just millions of people who are depressed, who've tried antidepressants and talk therapy, and some of them have even tried shock therapy. And for those people, if it helps them, this would be great to have one more tool in the little toolkit box of the physician to help them.
That's Dr. Eric Finzi. His book is The Face of Emotion, How Botox Affects Our Mood and Relationships. We'll have an excerpt at hearandnow.org. Dr. Finzi, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Robin.